and welcome to Church in Maine, the podcast where we talk about the intersection of faith and modern life. My name is Dennis Sanders, and I am your host. I'm not going to do a really long intro to this one. This is, if you haven't guessed, one of the episodes where I've been sharing some of the videos I've been doing back in the fall. And this is actually one of the first ones I did, kind of asking a question of, is the congregation where I serve a progressive congregation? I won't tell you much of the backstory. I'll let the video explain itself. And then once we're done, I will share a little bit more and also ask a question. So let's go ahead and listen to the video. Good afternoon, church. This is Dennis Sanders from First Christian Church of St. Paul. And so for this week, I wanted to talk to you a little bit about adjectives and how we describe ourselves and how to describe who we are as a community of faith, especially in a politically polarized time. So this week I was kind of thinking, as many of you know, I do a lot of work in digital media and writing, and I was thinking about our own website for First Christian Church, and thinking about SEO, search engine optimization, and what words people would use to find our congregation. And I kept wondering, and for many years have wondered, should we describe ourselves as a progressive congregation? And for a long time, I've resisted that. And on the surface, in many ways, we are, in some ways, a progressive congregation. We are an open and affirming church. We welcome LGBTQ people. You have me as an out gay man who is married as the pastor. We're a church that believes in caring for the marginalized and for the poor, and we believe in diversity. We are, even for a very small congregation, a pretty diverse bunch. So in some ways, yeah, you could say that. But I think too often when we use these words, and I don't want to make it sound like it's just on the left, but it's also on the right, we use progressive and conservative in front of the word Christian. And sometimes what happens is that that word, which is an adjective, in some ways almost becomes a noun. We are so tied up in this age of our identity, of who we are. And so it becomes almost like a straitjacket. And there are some times when I've seen both conservative and liberal who are so bound up in being a progressive and being a conservative that they forget that other half of the word, the Christian, that we're followers of Jesus. And that is what's important. Of course, it still doesn't answer the question, should we describe ourselves as a progressive congregation? And, you know, in some ways, as I said, we are. But I think that what's more important isn't that we are politically progressive or politically conservative, that we're not cheerleaders for the Democrats because we're a progressive, or cheerleaders as a conservative Christians that support and the Republican Party. Because what's important, what we want, is to be a church that welcomes people, and especially welcomes people from different walks of life. One of the things as disciples that's important is that we believe in the centrality of the communion table, that it's not our table, it's God's table, and that God welcomes everyone to the table. And I remember several years ago, Sharon Watkins, who was the general minister and president, talked about the importance of people staying at the table. even when they disagree. And that caused a lot of friction among people. Because they were some people who, especially who are gay and who have had religious trauma, that don't want someone who is different at the table. And I get that. But it is also important that we have and try to find ways of communicating and talking with one another. And it's important that we are at the table together. You know, not everyone who is at churches believe the same way. I, for one, would not be considered politically progressive. I tend to vote sometimes more on the center-right, sometimes libertarian. I have sometimes different viewpoints. And I know that even within our congregation, there are probably very different viewpoints politically. But it's important to me that we find ways of staying at the table, find ways of reaching out towards one another, seeing each other as children of God, because so often in our culture, there's so little space where we can actually really talk to one another, even when we disagree. So, are we a progressive congregation? Probably. But I think what's more important is that we love God and we love others. And that is something that we are called to do regardless of how we vote or what we think on various issues. And that's what matters. Probably won't easily fit for search engine optimization, but I do think it is what God calls us to be, a people that loves God passionately, but also loves others just as passionately. Well, that's it for this week. Take care, church. Blessings. Okay, so that was the video. And I want to kind of share kind of a background to this, because I was not really thinking of releasing this yet. You know, I was maybe wanting to do it, but it's the Christmas holiday and I didn't really want to feel like trying to put together another episode. And I'm also kind of slowly recovering from COVID. But there was just something that really took, and it was a post. It's an older post from Chris Gertz, who you may have remember was one of my, he was a guest a few months ago when we talked about pietism. He is a pietist. He comes from the Evangelical Covenant Church, though he actually goes to a Lutheran congregation. His wife is Lutheran, and that's where he goes. But he wrote an article a few months back where he was kind of discussing the new framework for Christian Century. The tagline that they have now is thoughtful, independent, and progressive. And he said, you know, he fit the first two, the thoughtful and the independent. It was that progressive one that he had some complications with. He kind of describes that, you know, progressive kind of resonates more as a political description than a theological one. But, you know, it's also interesting that he did a political typology quiz. And it's funny because I think we must match. One of his quizzes placed him on the ambivalent right, and the other one put him kind of in a left libertarian quadrant. And I think when I've done those tests, I know I have been labeled as ambivalent right. And if you did put me in a
kind of a those one of those quadrant ones. I'm just kind of within the libertarian quadrant. So that's kind of weird. But then he also references an article I remember reading, which was just fascinating, from a few months ago, by a man named Omar Peterman, that how both conservative and progressive in some ways are handcuffs. Peterman says here, handcuffs that align with an in-group and ultimately distract us from thinking with charity, nuance, and love. And Peterman continues, when we take these identities as our own, we allow them to form our imagination of faith, our world, and the ideological other. We place ourselves within social commitments that these labels hold, which limit our ability to speak the truth in love. And so Chris is also then wondering, so where does that leave him? And he wanted to maybe the word moderate fit, but of course that has its own problems. And he brings up how the word moderate was used by Martin Luther King in Letter from Birmingham Jail. So this is a long way of kind of trying to get at, you know, how do we describe ourselves? And, you know, how do, as someone who is from a mainline denomination, it can be difficult, because the word progressive can mean a lot of different things. And so what does it mean when someone who is gay, who believes who's probably in a lot of different ways somewhat libertarian, but also believes in a role for government, is orthodox in his belief, but not fundamentalist. You know, it's really hard. Where does that all fit? And we want to try to put these adjectives to describe ourselves. And it's funny, because I think we all want to think that these descriptions are so expansive, and, you know, that they describe us so well, when I sometimes feel like we're trying to fit into the description, and that it frames us. Kind of like, I think what Peterman is saying is that, you know, we think that we're kind of the ones in control. And I think sometimes those words end up controlling us. And so, you know, the words conservative or progressive can sometimes be dangerous. And I don't think it necessarily means that you have to run away from them, but I think you need to handle them with care. You need to know their power. And I think that is the thing that we sometimes too often don't realize, is that words have a certain amount of power in them. And so, you know, I don't really leave this episode with any easy questions or easy answers for people, except that I think we need to kind of get away from kind of the moral, seeing these, putting so much investment into these words and not really into the words that they're supposed to ultimately describe, which is Christian, that we are followers of Jesus. So what does that mean? And stop trying to make Christian fit into conservative or progressive, because that's where I think we get into problems. So that's kind of where I'm at. I would love to hear what you're saying. You can definitely leave a comment or send me an email. I'd love to hear from you. One of the things that I'm looking forward to doing in the next year, I'm already trying to line up some things coming up for January. Of course, this is all in the middle of while you're also leading a church. I'm fascinated about the role of class when it comes to, especially in mainline denominations, because I think that that is a hidden thing that we don't talk about. One of the things that fascinates me, and because, of course, you know, I grew up at this really interesting intersection of both being African-American, but also someone that grew up in a working class background. Where is the working class when it comes to faith? Because I think there's been a lot of readings where, in some ways, the working class is less religious, and that may be opening up to a lot of bad things. But I'm also curious, does especially the modern kind of mainline church, the mainline denominations, are they really interested in reaching out to working class populations that are out there? I think there's a lot of interest in diversity, whether that's sexual diversity or racial or ethnic diversity. But is there such a thing when it comes to class? If you know of someone that I could talk to about that, I would love to have that opportunity. So please drop me a line. That would be great. So that is it for episode 124 of Church in Maine. And hopefully the next episode will be kind of a regular episode where I'll be interviewing someone. So I hope that you all have a safe and happy new year, and we'll talk to you soon. Take care. Godspeed, and I will see you soon.